Our Shabbos topic today, it's definitely one of the most fundamental and central elements, features of Shabbos. It's also one that is difficult to define. It's difficult to put into words, and we're going to do the best that we can. I apologize in advance if this is not going to be the most precise formulation, because the theme, the element, the dimension of Shabbos that we're going to describe, it almost defies categorization using precise language. It probably needs more poetry than it does prose, which is why we're going to lean on a heavily poetic work. So one core marumakum, one endpoint that we can look at to focus this journey today is the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yod Ches, which you see in source number one. The bottom of the page on Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yossi, Kol Hama'aneges HaShabbos, a person who enjoys Shabbos. Now, it's interesting, the word me'aneg means makes an effort to enjoy, invests in an oneg's delights in Shabbos. Nosnin lo, the Rabbonu Shalom, they give him nachala, a portion, beli mitzarim, no boundaries. Min hametzar karaziko, it means when I feel I'm constricted. Mitzrayim is a place of constriction, meitzarim, bein hametzarim. But on Shabbos, if a person's ma'ani gets a Shabbos, no, they give him nachala beli mitzarim, without any borders. How does the Gemara know that? Shnei Amar says in Pasuk in Yeshaya, Oz tisana gal Hashem v'erkavticha al bama se'oretz v'hachalticha. After the beginning of that Pasuk is, im toshiv mi Shabbos raglecha, me'asos chafatzecha, all the things, you know, if you properly observe Shabbos, and Oz tisana gal Hashem, you will enjoy being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which of course is a theme that we're going to keep coming back to over and over the course of this year, of Shabbos being with Hashem. Tisanag, if you enjoy it, I will give you nachlas, I will give you to eat, so to speak, nachlas Yaakov Avicha, the portion of Yaakov. Says the Gemara, here on Amud Beis in the narrow lines, lo ka Avram, not like Avram, shekasev bo kum isalich ba'aretz le'orka ularachba. Avram was told, you're going to get the land, you're going to get the length and the width, defined space. Yitzchak was told, your children are going to get this land, meaning from this border until that border. No. Ela ki Yaakov, we're going to be given like Yaakov, shekasevo, as it says about him. Uforatzta, lifrotz means, right, to shatter. Uforatzta, you're going to shatter the boundaries. You're going to go yama vakedma tzafona vanekma. So that's the Gemara. And the Gemara does not explain. But this is an omek hapnimi. It's an inner depth of how we're supposed to understand Shabbos. That at the deepest level, if we really lean into the Shabbos fully, we're in this dimension that has no boundaries. That has beli mitzarim. Beli mitzarim. And that's what we want to understand a little bit. So, at the simplest, most basic level, what we're being told here by this Gemara is that Avram and Yitzchak, they looked at a place. There was a space, it was called Eretz Yisrael. And that Shabbos transcends that. Transcends the limits of space, right? There are spatial dimensions. Spatial, not as spatial shalashidis. Spatial meaning S-P-A-T-I-A-L, you know, the area. And then there is temporal. And perhaps the basic level, just first step of this Gemara is Shabbos, it's not bounded by space because it lives in a different realm. And that is the realm of time. That is, nachala beli mitzarim. Time is the nachala b'li mitzarim. Now, the person who probably articulated this the best is the late Rabbi Dr. Heschel. I suspect that many of you either have this book, have read this book. It's called The Sabbath. It was first published in 1951. And the theme of this book is exactly this nekuda, that Shabbos is an expression, and perhaps the expression, of Kedushas Hazman, the sanctity of time, which is what we're going to talk about in the few minutes we have together today. A few times in this book, I can think of at least two, but I think there are probably more. Rabbi Heschel, Zichrono Livracha, who himself was a Hasidic soul that was transplanted into America from an old world of Warsaw. We had a chance to talk about Rabbi Heschel last year or 2 years ago when we did the Ben-Gurion letter, so we had the Heschel letter. So just one fascinating postscript, which is you have to be careful, very, very careful what you say in life. You never know where, the Gemara says in the beginning of Baba Basra, Ov HaShemayim Yolech Kol, you ready for this? So we have our learning. We're right here. We're in a small dorf in the suburb of Chicago. We're just ready. We're just learning between us. So remember, last year or 2 years ago, when was it that we did the letters from Ben-Gurion? Was that 2 years ago? So 2 years ago, we had one letter from Heschel. So you remember, we had a whole discussion about Heschel and the light and the vessels, the whole thing. P.S., months later, I get an email from Susanna Heschel from Dartmouth. Somebody, I don't know where they listened to this, or how they got a hold of it, sent her this shiur that we discussed, her father's Zichron Livracha. So I was so embarrassed. I'm like, I'm not a scholar of anything. I certainly don't know much about Heschel. Like, no, I learn and I share. That's it, you know? But you have to be very careful. You never know what's going to happen. So that was my Heschel lesson, that you may end up talking in front of somebody you don't belong to talking in front of. Okay, that's the story of my life. It was at least not negative. You know, it was very complimentary, which to me was pretty shocking. Okay. It could have been it was very gracious. Let's just leave it at that. So anyway, so Rabbi Heschel, he came from the Olam of Chassidus, which of course the experience of Shabbos is so deeply rooted, and we spoke about this when we talked about Shaul Shudas and the Magister Shtibel that Rav Soloveitchik witnessed growing up. Like, Shabbos is a living embodiment of something. So Rabbi Heschel's book, The Sabbath, is all in on this nekuda that Shabbos is Kedushas Hazman. Agadekach, you could argue, you know, we have a tradition, Ahava, love, Mikalkelas es Hashura. It makes you blind. So he so much loves the Shabbos, and he loves the idea that Shabbos is Kedushas Hazman, that he's like totally all in. So I can't say that this book is a fair and balanced treatise, because when you love something, you're a little bit unbalanced, right? You're a little biased. So there is a whole nother realm of Kedusha that he kind of like, he doesn't really give the time of day, which deserves its own respect, that he doesn't really give it so much, but that's okay, because that's not so much the inyan of Shabbos. But he really develops this nekuda. This phrase that Shabbos is a palace in time is a beautiful poetic description of this idea. So you see on the bottom in number two, Judaism is a religion of time. He's talking about Kedushas HaZman, aiming at the, and this italics is his, the sanctification of time. Kedush, that's what we call Kedushas HaZman. Unlike the space-minded man to whom time is unvaried, iterative, homogeneous, to whom all hours are alike, qualityless, empty shells, the Bible senses the diversified character of time. There are no 2 hours alike. Every hour is unique and the only one given at the moment, exclusive and endlessly precious. Judaism teaches us to be attached to, again, Kedushas HaZman, holiness in time, to be attached to sacred events, to learn how, and I want to come back to that word events later, but not for right now, to learn how to consecrate sanctuaries that emerge from the magnificent stream of a year. The Sabbaths are our great cathedrals, and our Holy of Holies is a shrine that neither the Romans nor the Germans were able to burn, a shrine that even apostasy cannot easily obliterate, the Day of Atonement. This is continuing the prologue. According to the ancient rabbis, it is not the observance of the Day of Atonement, but the day itself that we call Itzumo Shel Yom, the essence of the day, which, with man's repentance, atones for the sins of man. Jewish ritual may be characterized as the art of significant forms in time, as architecture of time. Most of its observances, the Shabbos, v'chule, depend on time. We remember the day, I'm going fighter. We remember the day of the Exodus from Egypt, the day when we stood at our Sinai, the day at the end of Achras Hayamim. All of these are about time. So this is the theme at the heart of the Kedusha of Shabbos. It's Kedushas Zman, holiness in time. Well, what does the word Kedusha mean? So going to the bottom, one of the most distinguished words in the Bible is the word Kadosh, holy, a word which more than any other is representative of the mystery and majesty of the divine. Kedusha is this multifaceted phenomenon, it's the best word I could come up with, that reflects a connection to something that's transcendent, to a divine encounter, to something which is, maybe you could even identify with similar words, focused, it is designated, or consecrated. The word kadosh, it has this very specific connotation. There's something very directed about it. There's something exclusive about it. Let's say you have a wedding. So the man says to the woman at the wedding, Harei at mikudeshesli. It doesn't mean that the woman is being put on the mizbeach. It means that she's designated. That's what Tosfos points out there in the beginning of Kiddushin. If you go, just skip ahead for this to the next page, to Rav Kluger's essay in the Yichud HaShabbos. He has a very quick line in the second volume, source number 5, B'loshon HaKodesh, we're talking about the word Kadosh. We want to define Kedushas HaZman. What is Kadosh? See, it's awesome Ha'ara. U'B'loshon HaKodesh Kazu, in Hebrew, Loshon Kodesh, B'diyuk, Gam Ha'agdara Shel Kedusha, the Pasuk says in Shmos, when we're getting ready for Maimed Har Sinai to receive the Torah, V'kidashtem Hayom U'machar, we should become Kadosh today and tomorrow. Rashi says, third line here in source number 5, Vikidashtem Vizimantem. You should Sheyachinu Atzmam Hayom Machar. You should prepare yourself. Vizimantem, you should prepare yourself. Vechein Hiskadshu Lamachar. Before they were going, remember the Jewish people, Nebuch, they complained about the foods. They were going to get the giant invasion of Slav they were going to eat, which didn't go well for them. Pasuk says, you should get ready. Hiskachu l'machar va'achal tem basar. Get ready. Be prepared. Be designated. Sha'akavana l'hazmana hazminu atzmechem. Prepare yourself. And, of course, second paragraph, v'l'kedusha zu, to this sanctity, mashmos nosefes. There is an additional understanding, an additional layer of meaning. V'hi hismasrus, that is, lehit maser, limsor. What is the word limsor? Right, to give over. Lehit maser is reflexive for to give yourself over. So to devote yourself, to dedicate yourself, vahachlata, and to determine, to decide. As it says, kazara al lo yeh kadesh. There should not be a kadesh, v'lo yeh kadesha. That there shouldn't be people whose entire purpose, their entire vocation is devoted to something which is the antithesis of godliness. A kadesh and a kadesha, these are designated, and especially in antiquity, these were pagan, usually associated prostitutes. They're dedicated. They have a specific tachlis. It is, so in our context, take a look in the, he says, next line, umavur, shemashmos ha-kodesh, b'mizgeres ha-kedusha, the concept of kadosh in our context of kedusha, hainu, fourth to last line, miyuchad, designated, singular, focused, umasur, and devoted, ba'ofen shel bitul, as is total nullification, devotion, el Hashem Yisbarach. Just like we said earlier about the idea of dedicating one's life to someone else. So, the first element of Kedusha Sazman is the idea of being kadosh, being devoted, singular in focus, and prepared. Well, isn't it interesting that we had another word in that first paragraph that also sounds very similar, overlapping? Take a look on the top of this, column. This is a book. It's a very fascinating book, although it's highly technical. I think this book is amazing. I mentioned it not too long ago in a totally different context, but I wanted to bring it to you because this book is called Etymological Dictionary of Biblical Hebrew. Don't fall asleep yet. It's very interesting. The reason why this book is interesting is because the guy who wrote this book went through all of Rav Hirsch's commentary on all of Chumash. And one of the things that Rav Hirsch does is that he connects different words based on their shorashim, on their roots. And that what you find is you actually learn a lot about word A from the fact that it has the same shoresh as the word B. So here's something interesting. The word zman, the shoresh, zayin mem nun, in the dictionary, the first definition is, you see? What is it? Preparing. Yavo le'itim mizumanim. Only after that is it time. Fascinating. We said before that there are two kinds of kedusha. We kind of alluded to this, that there is kedusha hazman, which is the focus of Shabbos, and then there is another kind of kedusha. That's the spatial kedusha. That's the kedusha makom, which is not the focus of Shabbos. But now, it sounds like the word kedusha and the word zman, they actually are meant to be melded together. If you ask Rabbi Heschel, Zichrono Levracha, he would tell you, of course. Because the most natural of all kedushas is zman, is time. Anything that is makom means it has boundaries, it has limits, it has a beginning point and an end point. Well, that, by definition, cannot be godly. Because the Biur Olam has no reishis for no achris. There's no beginning and end. But Zman is not mugbal, it's not limited, it has no meitzarim. So now all of a sudden, I always thought there are two words. There's Kedusha, and then there's Zman. So you have Kedusha Hazman. But it turns out that Kedusha and Zman actually are overlapping. Because Kedusha means lahazmin, hazmana, preparedness. Well, the word Zman, what does the word Zman mean? It means to designate for purpose. To prepare. When you start to bench in a group, you have a large setting, you have a special meal, you have many people. What is that? Mizuman. Yes! What is a mizuman? What is that? Okay, but what do you do when you are mezamin, lahazmin? That's it. You're inviting. You invite people. The word zman, time, comes from the word lahazmin. Same, what? Invitation, exactly. Hazmana in modern Hebrew. Oh, halachically, that word is very significant. In Gemara language, in Yiddishism, we call it hazmana. Hazmana is a halachic term, which means preparation or designation of something. So the Gemara has a shaila, do you hold hazmana milsa or hazmana lav milsa? Meaning, let's say you have a construction site and you're going to build a building. And part of that building is going to be used for a restroom. So you put up the walls, you drywall it, you put in the plumbing, you put in the fixtures. So you have a toilet, you have a urinal, you have a sink, you have the whole bathroom is outfitted. But no one has yet used this bathroom, as a restroom. So you planned it to be a bathroom. The architect says it's a bathroom. The designer says it's a bathroom. The plumber says it's a bathroom. But no one used the bathroom yet. What if you decide that you want to reconfigure the space? And let's say you're, I don't know, renovating a shul. And you want to actually take that space and use it for a Davar Shebekdusha. You want to make it into, you want to totally, you're going to rip out the plumbing and you're going to change that space. And you didn't make it tonight. Usually the shuls today, we make them all tonight. You make them on a condition, so it gives us a lot more leeway. But let's say you didn't make it tonight. So Gemara has a question. Can you use a bathroom like that for a Davar Shebekdusha? So Gemara says it depends on the machlokas about whether or not hazmana, designation, is that milsa, is that a thing? Once they said, this is a bathroom, memela, you cannot use it as a davar shebekdusha. You can't daven there. A bathroom is a bathroom. Or do you say, no, no, no. Since no one used it, it's only hazmana. It's only designation. Hazmana, lav milsa. Now, if somebody used it, then it already becomes a bathroom, a whole different shiloh. But this is the idea. So wait a second. The word hazmana has the same connotation of designation, right? Of focus. There's an exclusivity to it, which is very similar to the whole inyan of Kedusha. Now, where does this all come from? If Kedusha and Zman are these overlapping themes, where does Kedusha come from? So if you go to the bottom of number 3, there is a really interesting essay in this volume. So this is a beautiful collection of shiurim that originated in a very rare vacation period, like a sabbatical period, for Harav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. In the late 1980s, one summer, I think summer of 1989, Rav Lichtenstein took a one-time in his life summer sabbatical where he did not teach in the yeshiva and he just spent the entire summer learning and writing on one topic, the topic of Kedusha. He then translated that work into a series of shiurim that he gave in yeshiva in Har Etzion, which was later then put into this volume called Kedushas Aviv. The reason why it's the Sfarim of Rav Lichtenstein are referred to as Aviv, Aleph, Beis, Yud, Beis, is because it's a reference to his name. His name was Aaron ben Yechiel, and his mother's name was Bluma. So that's why Minchas Aviv, Kedushas Aviv, you see, you're going to see some of these Svarim, although you're not going to see so many, because what's interesting, just a fascinating aside, when a few years ago when the Kolel, we had this amazing experience that we brought Dr. Tova Lichtenstein, she'll live and be well, of Lichtenstein's wife, Lahavda Min Chaim Min Chaim. So we brought her to Chicago, if you remember. We had a special Neely Archekala. She spoke right here in the social hall. It was amazing. So one of the best amazing things that happened to me since we came to Chicago is that Nachum and I got to take her out for dinner, which was once-in-a-lifetime experience. So one of the things that I asked her was to talk a little bit about the difference, if she could share with us, about her father, the Rav Zichrona Livracha, and her husband. It was amazing. So one of the interesting things that she said was that her father was a big writer, and that when the Rav passed away in Boston, there was an armoire full of manuscripts, that for many decades before he would give one of these big lectures, he would write them out. And she said her husband was not like that. So she said at that time, she said there's not going to be that much published material that he wrote because much of it had already been published. He wasn't a big writer of the shiurim that he gave. He took notes and he prepared the shiurim and then he gave the shiurim. It wasn't like he wrote monographs. But this work which finally actually was published after he passed away. The work was done while he was living, but it was published when he passed away. So this work is one of his, like, pre-Amolo, one of his actual works that he worked on, which then, like the monographs, then they took tapes, remember tapes? Tapes from the shiurim from the early 90s that he gave, and then write-ups from guys from there in the shiurim, etc. So this work is an enormous, enormous work. Enormous. And the editors of this work, who are Shai Lichtenstein, Rav Lichtenstein's son, and Chaim Navon, at the end, they have a postscript to this book. They collected, they collated, they edited all this material. It is not an easy read. I have not gone through the whole thing. But in the end, they summarize one of the sections, which is good for us because they put it in like regular people language, which we need, especially with Rav Lichtenstein. So in the, what they call here in the Achris Davar, they have an essay called Hakdusha, Sanctity, B'mishnaso Hahilchatis, in the halachic learning, or like Mishnah here means like his ethos or thoughts of Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal. So one of the things they quote is they sharpen a little machlokas. See on the bottom of page 3. So this is summarizing the volume. Okay, maybe I should have made this a drop larger. Sorry. Beperek in the chapter Ha'osek B'kedushas Eretz Yisrael Nidonu Ofya Hayesodi Shel Hakdusha Umakora. It is discussed the quality and the character of the fundamental nature of Kedusha and its source. Rabbeinu, meaning Rav Lichtenstein, Hevi es ha-she'ila ha-mufursemes, he brings the famous question, Ha'im yesh lir'os es makor ha-kedusha, do you see the source of sanctity, ba-shamay mimal, up in the heavens, k'mayse yideh ha-kadosh baruch hu, third line, source number 3, at the hand of Hashem Yisbarach, O Shemakora Matsui Dafka Be'eretz Mitachas, or actually the source of Kedusha comes from below, from the earth, from our existence. Ha'im HaKedusha Hi Uvda Ruchanis, is Kedusha a spiritual fact, Hamavates Nochuchus Elokis, that expresses the presence of God? O Shema, or maybe, B'nei Adam, human beings, Krutzei Chomer. Krutzei Chomer, by the way, this is a liturgical term which we are familiar with from the Piyutim now of Aseres Mei Tshuva. Krutzei Chomer means we are fashioned from dirt, that we, Heima HaYotzrim Osama Ma'aseim, that we create. But often Klali, generally speaking, which is why I wanted to use this paragraph because I didn't want to get in the weeds here, they say, Ba'ovin klali, generally speaking, Bale Hasod, the Kabbalists, Natu Liros es Makor HaKedusha B'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they lean to see the source of sanctity in Hashem, from above. Ba'od, yet, Maran Hagrid, Rav Soloveitchik, Ubale Halacha Acherim, and other halachic thinkers, Natu Liros es HaKedusha Ki Yitzira Enoshis, they see more Kedusha of human. Now, not exclusively, obviously, it's a partnership, but there is a human investment in Kedusha. Rav Soloveitchik has many, many rayas to this. And so you don't have to necessarily set these up as like complete polar opposites. But as an example of this, just by the way, we know, of course, that the Kedusha of Shabbos is Kviya V'Kaima. It's set. You don't have a Beis Din that announces the onset of Shabbos. Shabbos comes whether you're in the shower or out of the shower, right? Shabbos is coming. But Rav Soloveitchik in one of the Yahrzeit drushes says, "Yeah, but when you make kiddush, you add a tosefis of kedusha of Shabbos, because the inyan of kedusha, there's always a human contribution." So this is old machlokas. So now we come back and we think about, okay, we know there's something called kedusha. Now we see that this kedusha, the origins of this Kedusha are interesting in terms of, does it come directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do we have to play a role in it? But what does this mean in terms of Kedusha Sazman? Right? What does that mean? That there is time which is sanctified, which is designated. And designated means specifically in this context for the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does that mean? Especially, what does it mean for us? How do you understand that? Like, this is such an ethereal term. So, go ahead to source number 6, to the last page, where we have a really precise and focused way of defining this from the late Rav Dessler. Some of you are familiar with this set of Svarim, Michtav Me'Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Dessler. This was edited by Rav Ari Carmel and Rav Chaim Friedlander, Zichronim Levracha. So they put together Rav Dessler's talks. This talk, Rav Dessler was for many decades in England and later became a mashgiach in the Panevez Yeshiva. So the talk that you're going to see right now on the page, they wrote this down. He gave this talk on a Wednesday I wrote down what year it was. It was Parashas Lech Lecha, 1952. So Rav Dessler was addressing the Talmidim, the students, and he was talking about the idea of Zman, of time. This is so important for right now. We're literally in the most important Zman, the time of the whole year, Aseres Mitzvah. What does it mean? So see at the top, this is the middle of the essay. Zman, kvius, kvias mahusenu. Kvar kasavnu, I've already told you earlier in a different essay in this volume where he deals with the Moadim, shehachagim, that the Yomim Tovim, the holidays, v'chein kol hazmanim, all of the times, Haim, they are hashpaos shonos. They are different. What does the word hashpa'a mean? Comes from the word shefa. They are different influences. Exactly. They are spiritual emanations that are introduced to us. Shemashpiim aleinu mishamayim. That the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, pours into the world. You can imagine a giant beaker with hashpa, with spiritual energy, and it's tipped over. Asher litchumam, that into their defined parameters, magia ha'adam, a person arrives, bizmanim eile, in these times. Bimei chaga Pesach, during the time of Pesach, ha'adam ba el osa hashpa, a person arrives at that hashpa, shenikva bizman ze bimei Yitzias Mitzrayim. That at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which by the way, of course, didn't start Yitzias Mitzrayim, this hashpa was at the time of the Bria Sa'olam that the Rosh Hashanah introduced it when he introduced the Musag of time, that this should be the time that we encounter the spiritual energy, the Ribbono Shalom's light that relates to Cheirus and all the other themes that are unique to Pesach. And so, like the visual maybe of this is, do you remember when we were kids, or we took our kids, you go to these like the little water parks for the toddlers? So remember they have like some kind of like either a bucket pool or a giant mushroom, and then on top of it there's a hose, and on the sides there's water cascading down and down. So the little kid, they walk in, and then phew, they walk into that, like the flood of water, right? That's kivyakul what's happening to us. We don't necessarily feel it, but when we arrive on the first night of Pesach, it's like the little kid that's walking into this huge waterfall. The neshama is like overwhelmed with the waterfall of that hashpa, says Rav Dessler. So all the different times in the year, we have those hashpas. V'chein. So, for example, etc., he goes on further. So obviously, right now, Ben Kesel La'asar, between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, when the Pasuk says, Dir Shashem Bihimatso, the Ribbono Shel Olam is pouring on, there's a flood. There's like flowing down from the Ribbono Shel Olam, Rachmanus, Rachmanus, closest Rachmanus, Rachmanus. Okay. So every time has this spiritual energy to it. We say in davening every Friday night, look in the box, Ata kidashtes yom ha'shvi'i l'shmecha, tachlis masa shemayim v'aretz, uveirachto mikol hayomim, v'kidashto mikol hazmanim. Of all the zmanim, all the different times, even of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, of Pesach, of Matan Torah, v'kidashto mikol hazmanim. V'kidashto mikol hazmanim. Zman means it is a devoted period of time for this specific experience, this spiritual energy. And Shabbos, v'kidashto mikol hazmanim. It's more intense, it's more focused, it's more designated than any other Zman. So now I'm starting to put it together a little bit. Kedushas Hazman means that throughout the flow of time, we are encountering different focused energies from the Ribono Shel Olam, different messages, different hashpahs. That's Kedushas Hazman. And on Shabbos, we are connected with the Kedusha of the Kedusha, the Zman of the Zmanim, the highest. So what does it mean for us? So go back now to the bottom of that piece based on Rav Lichtenstein, source number 3. Ulam, however, Rabbeinu Savar, Rav Lichtenstein held, Ki af l'tfisas bale hasod, even according to the Kabbalistic view that the Shechina is what creates the Kedusha, that it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midubar b'mesima aktivis. We're discussing, our goal is to be active. Even if the Hashpah is just pouring on us, lachsof ulegalos es Kedusha. The Ribono Shel Olam wants us to open our eyes, to experience it, to reveal it. Lehisvada, that it should become known. Hagnuza ze mikfar me'olam. It's all in there. But what did the P.S.S.R. talk about, Shalashuddis? Is that we should strip away the crustiness and let it out from within us. That's the Hashpah which is happening now. So the Zman is Misugal. It's just waiting for us to feel it, to experience it, to reveal it within our own lives. Ah. It's happening all the time. The Kedusha is there. The Zman is there. It's just up to us to reveal it. Rav Dessler has a great, great mashal. Go back to source 6. You ready? On the left side, where there is... On the left side, I'll just frame this in the following. There's a really interesting question some of the Achronim discussed. The relationship of time, this moment versus the moment that was, the Avar and the Asid, where the Hova stands. You know, is there really a relationship? How do those relate to each other? There's a whole discussion about this. Rav Dessler says, take a look. He says a mashal. Mapas ha'aretz. Imagine you have a map. Let's lay out a huge map of the world on the floor, right here in front of us. Shekol nekuda she'aleha siman la'ir. And there's a dot on this map for a city. So let's say we have a giant, humongous map of the state of Illinois. So you have a dot for Chicago, you have a dot for Peoria, you have a dot for, you know, Bellevue or Springfield, all these Mekomos HaKadoshim. He says, what do you do? Mechuse b'niyar. It's covered with a giant piece of paper. Sheyesh bo nekev echad, that has one hole in it. And what do? You move the paper all around the map. So what do you see from the top? What am I looking at right here? The only thing is I see one dot at any given time. At this moment, I see the dot that says Chicago. Then I move the whole paper over, then I see the dot that says Peoria. Does it mean that Chicago doesn't exist when I only see the dot for Peoria? No, of course Chicago exists. It's all one tapestry, so to speak. That is a visual that Rav Dessler gives us of how to understand time. So to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, I have all these special dots, these special energies, and I'm just going to take you on a journey that over the course of time, now all of a sudden, oh, we're over this special dot. Then they move the paper, and now we're over the next dot. And then you move then over the next one. Of course, it becomes for us a cumulative experience that when we connect to the Ribono Shel Olam in this place, our neshama is nourished, our connection to the Ribono Shel Olam is deepened, and that doesn't disappear when we move to the next moment. So it turns out, and this is, at least to me, the most amazing, ingenious, I guess, observation of all the amazing observations that Heschel has in this book, it is that the way to experience time is dafka through that, through experiences. What is, says Rabbi Heschel, the primary difference between time and space? He says that space is associated with things. Space is occupied by things. We conquer space, the world. We conquer it by acquiring things, building things, creating things, owning things. It's all about things. Things are associated with space. There are no things in the realm of time. There are only experiences, feelings, thoughts, emotions, interactions. So the difference between this realm of Kedushas Makom, you could say, the holiness of place is the holiness of things. Between that and Kedushas Zman is the holiness of experiences. The holiness of things are very important, but they're very limited, right? The thing, it begins here and it ends there. How big is the ice cream cone? There's only a certain amount of ice cream you can eat in one sitting. There's a limit. And then when it's gone, and then you worked it off, that ice cream cone is just gone. There's a limit to it. But an experience is not limited in space. You feel the effects of that experience for, you know, could be forever. Rav Soloveitchik describes later in life the experience of standing with his grandfather at the close of Yom Kippurim. That's not a thing. It's an experience. It's a zman. It's Kedushas Zman. So now I understand what the Gemara said. If a person is ma'aneg Shabbos, if they enjoy Shabbos, then they have a nachala b'li mitzarim. They have a portion, a connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam that doesn't have any limits. Because it's not a thing. It can never be taken away. And it becomes part of your eternal self. Because time is not just something that comes and goes. As Rav Dessler taught, time is like that map. So it happens to be, today my time is, this Zman is Sunday. So Zman of Sunday is Mesugal for certain avoda. We got to do certain things today. Tomorrow is going to be a different Zman. But the Zman are all, they're all together. It's all one big Zman. That's why the Ribbono Shel Olam describes, you know, in the Medrash, when Adam Rishon was created, he could see me Sofa Alamad Sofo. Every child, when it's in utero, the Gemara says the need that sees, because Zman is like one long continuum. Of course. But now I also understand why the Gemara used the term Kol HaMa'aneg Es HaShabbos. Ma'aneg Oneg means you had a nice experience. It's about experience, not about a thing. There's a ton of research on this. Now the researchers are all figuring it out that the best way to spend your money to nurture happiness is not things, it's experiences. It is. That's why probably, I suspect, now more than ever, one of the biggest industries in the world is travel. Travel is not a thing, right? When you're done, you're done. So when we're kids, we like to think, oh, if I get a thing, that will make me happier. But then you get older, and the researchers all show that things are less enjoyable than experiences. So people are paying now a lot of money for experiences. That's what people prefer. That's what the research is showing. Buy experiences, not things. Studies show experiences increase our happiness more than stuff. And there's tons of research on this. You could do like weeks and weeks of discussions. So now I understand why there's such a thing as Kol HaMa'aneg Es HaShabbos. The person receives Nachala B'li Mitzarim. Because if it's about Oneg, if it's about an experience, then that is in the realm of Kedushas HaZman. So Kedushas HaZman, there's no limit. It's the palace in time. The gift of Shabbos is the gift of experience. It's a hazmana. It's an invitation from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's saying, V'kidashto mikol hazmanim. He's saying, I'm offering you an opportunity to experience time with me. I'm mazmin. I'm inviting you. V'kidashtem. Get ready. So that, of course, now you can start thinking, this is nafkamina. One day we're going to have to talk about this. Kavod Shabbos, Onik Shabbos, preparing for Shabbos, like all of these things, but it's all based in the same idea, which is that Shabbos is a zman, it's a time, which means it's about the experience. How am I experiencing the Ribbono Shel Olam? And so that's why we have lots of different things to do, not things to buy, that you do before, but there are a lot of opportunities, there are windows. So on Friday night, it's one type of zman, it's one type of kedusha, v'kidashtem, to be prepared, that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to be in Friday night mode for this divine encounter, or for the next, or for the next. So ultimately, this is a beautiful teaching for Shabbos, but it's also, of course, for the whole rest of our lives, to realize that when the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us a zman, when he gives us kedushas hazman, it's a hazmana, it's an invitation. And halavai, we should be zoche to take up this invitation. And when we do, we enter into this oneg, this enjoyment, which is nachala b'li mitzarim, certainly in the context of Shabbos.